Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin news. In this episode, Reed and Rev talk with Jacob from the Indie Bitcoin Meetup. All right, Local Bitcoiners, Rev Hodel here again, as always with Reed, and today we have Jacob from Indie Bitcoin in Indianapolis, Indiana. And before we get talking to Jacob and hearing about how cool of a meetup scene they've got going on down there, I'm going to tell actually the story of when I went to the Indianapolis meetup for the first time. Now, I can't remember if I invited myself to give a presentation or if I was asked to give a presentation, but I ended up going to the Indianapolis meetup to give a presentation on all my home mining techniques. And it was pretty fun. I went with a fella from the Michigan community we call Pizza Carl, who does meetups out in Colon, Michigan. He's got some pizza shops that accept Bitcoin. And so we carpooled together, and I ended up forgetting my power cord for my laptop. And so there's another guy there named Relatively Irrelevant who came through with a computer for me to give my presentation on, which was clutch. And so it was a great meetup. And you know, I think it was at Union Jack's pub or bar at the time. I don't know. We'll probably hear tonight if that location is still the same or if it's somewhere else. But, you know, I came with my general meetup vibe, right? I brought some stuff to sell. I gave some, I dictated some intellectual capital in the presentation. And I also left with a Bitcoin node. And so I sold something. And so I earned a little Bitcoin. I spent a little Bitcoin. And I met a lot of cool Bitcoiners. It was a great meetup. And I'm really excited to for Jacob to tell even more stories since then. But for now, I'll kick it over to Reed and see what he's got to say.
Yeah, so I was gonna tell a little story here about it was actually a meetup that we had last summer. So everything sort of just kind of fell in place for it. But I'm not sure if you guys know AwaySlice, but AwaySlice reached out to me actually on Nopster. And was letting me know that, hey, you know, Western Mass is kind of pretty close to me these days. And he wanted to have a beefsteak up in Great Barrington. And we were the closest meetup. And so he reached out to me and said, you should, you know, invite the meetup up for a beefsteak. And so I invited my meetup. And actually, I reached out to some of the other meetups in the area and let them know, too, that it was going on. There was one over in Albany. We reached out to them. Some of the ones from Central Mass. And we brought kind of a little crew up to Great Barrington. And so it was an amazing experience. The food was fantastic. But probably the most memorable part of this particular beefsteak was that probably about halfway through, so like, you know, food's out, fire's going, stuff's coming off the grill, we're having a great time. Dude, the sky absolutely opened up. And it was absolute torrential downpouring rain for like 30 minutes. And we had no shelter, nothing. We eventually had to walked all the way back to our cars because it was just unbearable, the rain. And then it stopped, like stopped just as quick as it started. Sun came back out. We got out of the cars. We got the fire restarted and kept going with the beefsteak. Like nothing happened. We were just a little wet, a lot wet. But it was pretty epic, and I'm kind of hoping that maybe this is a little topical because maybe we might be hearing about a beefsteak that Indy's got coming up. But with that little quick story, I'd like to turn things over to Jacob, who's here from Indy Bitcoin. And so thanks for coming on, and why don't you introduce yourself and talk to us for a minute about your meetup?
Yeah, Rev, Reed, first of all, thank you guys for having me. Yeah, I got a couple stories I can share with those. And let me first of all say, Rev, your story about coming down and Relatively Irrelevant, like saving the day with the cable. And then he sold you a node. That's like, he's always coming through. We've got this running joke in our meetup that he's like our meetup is 4 years old, going on 5 years now. And he's the 4-time Indie Bitcoiner of the year. Because he like always comes through and gives a presentation when we need to, or when someone forgets like an HDMI cord, he's got one. He's like, well, let me run out to my car. Always, always coming through. So we give a shout out to him right off the bat. He's awesome. But yeah, where do you guys want to start? Like, talk about the kind of how the meetup started.
Yeah, like that's true. You know, one of the things we actually really do, one of the things I've been trying to emphasize these days is I remember from back in the day when I used to listen to Bitcoin podcasts, like in the early 2020s, everybody used to always tell like, oh, what's your Bitcoin origin story? Well, I love to hear like meetup origin stories. So I'd love to hear about, you know, how you got into meetups or how the indie meetup started or anything that you want to share about. That would be great.
Yeah, I started, it kind of started around like 2019. I was looking for a meetup. I think I was listening to RHR every week, hearing about like the Boston meetup, heard good things for a long time about the meetups in New York, big meetup down in Austin. My best friend lives down in Austin and I wanted to go to a meetup. I'd been in Bitcoin for several years at that point, and I'm listening to podcasts, reading books, even if kind of through like the 2017 bull run, had some friend, like maybe a couple friends that had like bought Bitcoins or other like altcoins during that time, but they weren't Bitcoiners. They didn't get it. So I was just really wanting to talk to other Bitcoiners. And I was considering, you know, a trip down to Austin to see my friend. And I was keeping an eye on that meetup to see like, hey, can I time like a weekend where I could hit that on if it was like a Thursday and then hang out with my friend that weekend. Maybe he would go with me, maybe not. It never quite worked out. But then I started seeing some others pop up. Even before that, there was one in 2019. I saw it on meetup.com. I feel like I would check like every like 3 to 6 months, like Bitcoin meetup. And there was something that was like crypto trading. And I was like, okay, well, this is better than nothing, I guess. And it wasn't what I don't think any of us would be looking for. It was about an hour of like charts and just that. Couldn't be mad about crypto trading. It was kind of funny at the very end of it. There was a kid. He was probably 18 to 20. His parents had drove him there, and he showed up in the last 5 minutes. And his parents were standing behind him, and he comes in and he opens the door and kind of waited for his turn to talk. And he goes, "Oh, hey, I just want to know, like, what do you guys think about Bitcoin SV?" And I was like, "Is this real life?" I could not believe it. And people were like, "Well, you know," and there's a couple people that had opinions on it. So I don't even know if that meetup carried on, but I was like, okay, well, that's not what I'm looking for. So I kind of went a couple more years, and it was really, I think the Nashville meetup. I kind of thought like Indy, Nashville, comparable cities. I heard about what they were doing in Minneapolis for a long time too. I'm like, okay, these are kind of in the region, maybe similar size cities population wise. And I saw what like Matt and Rod were doing down in Nashville, and that's 4 hours away from Indy. So I'm like, even better. I need to get down there. And they had great guests, hundreds of visitors a month. And finally, I didn't make it down there yet either, but I just decided, oh, I think I sent Brandon Quittam a DM on Twitter. And I was like, hey, I'm looking for a meetup, no luck, thinking about starting one, but I don't know. And he's like, dude, go for it. Like, I think I sent him a DM and he like responded to me in 5 minutes. And I'm like, well, okay. Like, you know, is it that easy? He's like, yep, I've got some advice. He sent me a Google sheet of like how to start a Bitcoin meetup. And it was like all these things. So I was like, and he was like one of the kings of Bitcoin meetup, like in my eyes. I was like, wow, this is awesome to be even like interacting with him. He's sharing all this great advice with me. And he's like, yeah. And also he's like, just work in public. He's like, so tweet out like, is there a Bitcoin meetup? So that's what I did. And it was actually, the time of recording this, it was almost like 5 years to the day. I'm like, I have it. It's like my pinned tweet on my profile. Is there a meetup around Indianapolis, Bitcoin meetup around Indianapolis? Didn't hear anything. So I waited, and this was like 3 or 4 months later. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. Picked a brewery, date and time, tweeted it out. Okay, here's going to be the first indie Bitcoin meetup. And the crazy thing was within an hour, a guy DM'd me and was like, hey, I'm an indie. Me and a handful of guys, we've been talking. We were about to start a meetup too. So I'm like, this is perfect. Let's go. Okay, here's the date. Let's already tweet it out. Let's stick to it. I got the meetup thing going on meetup.com. So that's what we did. We had our first meetup. It was October 27th, 2001. And I thought I would have a meetup initially where like no one showed up. I was making my neighbor go with me. And we ended up having like 8 to 10 solid, like hardcore Bitcoiners there in the first night. Could not believe it. That was how the meetup got started.
Yeah, my first meetup, it was one other guy showed up. You know, I like kind of ninja. I mean, I didn't ninja launch it. You talked about it on Twitter at the time too. This is my first one was September of 2022. And the one guy who came, he ended up coming like 15 or 20 minutes late. And so I was like alone, basically, like wondering if anyone was going to show up. And I was like, went up to the bar and got my beer. And I was like, if I finish this beer and no one's here yet, I don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to hang out here. And I was getting through it, you know, like 15 and 20 minutes in. And another guy showed up with a Bitcoin hat on. And I was like, hey, perfect. And that's all it took. And it was me and him, actually just me and him for the first three meetups. And then I don't know, like something started happening. People started showing up. It was a great feeling. But that's really cool to hear that you had a little different experience where you had a fantastic turnout your first time. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I thought my experience was going to be like yours. And I imagine that's probably how most of them start. But I remember that first meetup and even the first, I mean, I felt this way the first several, and I mean, for years, I still have this feeling sometimes where I was like, okay, I found my people. There's something where like talking to Bitcoiners for the first time where you guys are just are on the same page, have a lot of the same values. Even still like through our meetups, like I come home and I just have like almost like an adrenaline dump. I'm like, wow, this was an unbelievable night. Sometimes my wife will still be awake and she's like, how was it? And she's like half asleep. I don't think she even really wants to hear about it, but she's asking to be nice. And I'm like, it was awesome. And I just start going, I just tell her all about it. She's like, okay, great. Glad you had fun.
So yeah, organizer of the Southwest Michigan meetup that's close to me. He's kind of like, dude, normally I do this kind of stuff. I do these like, you know, get people together and talk about whatever. Do like round table format type things. And he's like, this one I never get tired of going to. I'm always wanting to go. I always want to go to the monthly Bitcoin meetup and do it. And I'm just like, I'm assuming that, you know, since it was a good group to get started, that helped keep some moment, like get some momentum going. I'm sure the next meetup was similar, right? And yeah. I'm sure it continued like that for a while. But at what point did it really, because when I went, that was like a real established meetup. There was people just stand, there wasn't even enough chairs for everyone to see the presentation, right? I was like, how did it go from just 10 people to like where, you know, you fill the whole bar up?
Yeah. I can't remember, you know, it's hard to remember like when exactly that happened, but I felt like we had such a good start, like with what you said, with that momentum. And it was just, and it was crazy early on because I thought I was into Bitcoin, but I'm talking to everybody else and there's people that work for Bitcoin companies, which I'm like, okay, that's so cool. And like our third or fourth meetup, a guy goes, well, hey, I'm doing some mining at home. I just learned how to submerge it. I can bring that in and like demo it. And so the neighbor I told you about and like, or I mentioned that was supposed to come to the first meetup with me and he ended up backing out like an hour before, he came like in the third or fourth meetup whenever this guy did this demonstration of a submerged ASIC. And I mean, it blew my mind, but we left and my neighbor's in the car with me. He's like, I understood about three words that like you guys said the entire 2 hours. He's like, that was super technical. I mean, it was just like super technical and like cool. Like we're all nerding out on it. But if you're not into Bitcoin, especially, I'm like, yeah, that probably wasn't like the best one for you to go to. But I'm like, that is cool. You can submerge a miner, right? He's like, yeah. But yeah, I think it was kind of gradual. I think the best thing that we did though is just, and I think this is advice I got early on from Brandon, which is being consistent. So we are always on the third Wednesday of the month, 7 to 9. I think it's been like that since the very first meetup and the numbers just slowly would climb. And we've went through at this point, bull markets, bear markets. And this past bull market, we would have up to like 40 people. Our last meetup, now that we're in the bear, I was looking around. I'm like, okay, this feels like about 13. I'm like, I counted. I'm like, there's 21 people here at maybe where we're sitting close to the bottom. Price wise, like this is amazing. We've had your friend Luke Broyles come down a couple times, and those have been our biggest crowds. We've had like 60 plus people whenever he's come down and whenever he would speak. So I can't remember exactly when it happened, but it's just been steadily growing.
So it sounds like you kind of mentioned a little bit that there are a lot of people that work in Bitcoin in Indianapolis just by happenstance somehow. And like, maybe this is an example where Luke Broyles, I think he's from that area, maybe. Mm-hmm. But he probably knows some people in that area. And so they're going to show up when he comes to the meetup. But yeah, it's interesting, like the attendees don't wane with the bull market and the bear market. We've noticed this just talking to people with many meetups in general. Like, I mean, sure that you're going to have not as many people, like random new people, like as you would in a bull market, because no noobs are like curious per se, or less, very much less. But yeah, I wonder if it has to do with like that. You guys got a great Telegram chat. Like, I've been in that for a few years, and that's, I mean, for the most part, I don't know if you're in other Telegram chats, but at this point, a lot of them are like dying, as far as I can tell. A lot of people are not interested in Telegram as much anymore. Maybe it's moving to Signal. Maybe it's just dying. I don't know. Group chats are dying in general. I'm not sure, but
going daily.
Yeah, no, it's always a great one. And so what do you think that, well, first of all, did you get that Telegram chat started pretty quick? How big of a aspect of that Telegram has it played in the meetup?
I think the Telegram's been going for a couple of years. We were using a program. I can't remember I don't think it was Discord. I think we might have been using a different program before that. We switched to Telegram. I think that's a big part of it, is like people being able to like stay in touch throughout the month. So you're not only seeing them for that like 2 or 3 hours during the month. People are able to share links, chat. You really get a feel for personalities, like sense of humor, all those kind of things. We have a number of inside jokes that have kind of really started in a Telegram that then carry over to the meetup, which is a lot of fun. But like, yeah, even back to just like all the people that have worked, I bet that have been part of the meetup, there's probably like 8 to 10 people, or at least 6 to 8 that have like currently work at or have worked at Bitcoin companies, which really surprises me, because there's just not, I mean, it's not that big of an industry. And I've always wondered, like, what about Indy makes that happen? I don't have a good answer. I think it's just kind of like happenstance again, but it's super cool. One of the coolest things that have happened at the meetup was, this was actually one of the first meetups we had at Union Jack Pub. So that's where we were at when you came down, Rev, and we're actually still there. We were in this little back room, and we were still probably like 10 to 15 people at that point. And there were a couple, some of our regulars, a couple newer guys there. And there's a couple guys talking off the side. And what ended up coming of that is two guys came together that night, ended up forming a mining company. It's called Megawatt. So they have a large mining operation. They just opened a second location an operation just like full of ASICs. Two guys started it. I don't know how many machines they have, but like hundreds, if not like over 1,000. Two guys got brought on. They brought in another guy from the meetup. I would say at least, I guess maybe my numbers were low. I wasn't really counting Megawatt in this, but so kind of four core founders, and then they brought at least a couple other people on as at least a contract work at a minimum. But that was really cool. I can still, like, right now, like, when I vividly picture these two guys in the corner chatting, and that's when they met for the first time. And I don't know what the time frame was, but months later, they start mining Bitcoin together.
Bitcoin meetups, man. Highest signal around. I mean, if I was going to start a Bitcoin mining company, tapping my local Bitcoin meetup to find people who, especially, I guess I don't know what year it was when they started, but that's pretty cool. And actually, you know, I was going to say, when you mentioned the guy who brought in the miner to show the immersion rig or whatever, I think I've brought up before on this podcast too, that I really feel like Bitcoin mining is a great educational tool, like for Bitcoin meetups especially. And I know you said people were, you guys were nerding out on all the technical stuff and whatnot. But even for the people who aren't keeping up with the technical stuff, you get to see like a real physical piece of hardware. Like most of the time, the stuff we're talking about, like if you're talking about mempools or you're talking about like running a node, it's all kind of just like, you know, it's software. It's not real. It's not tangible. You can't put your hands on it. And like we've had multiple meetups where I've brought in like an old miner. Like for me, it's like an old S9 that I was using to keep my basement forever. But I'd bring it in and we'd open it up. I'd take off the fans and pull out the hashboards and start pointing that stuff and showing people how it works. And I think even for the people who weren't exactly keeping up, just being able to see something like that is really cool. But yeah, man, I love hearing the that a Bitcoin meetup is really kind of responsible for bringing together the foundation of a Bitcoin mining company. That's really epic.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that part of it. And kind of along those lines, I've had a great experience. I hope others in our meetup have, I hope you guys have in your meetup, but that's like making friends. And like, I feel like I'm getting lifelong friends out of this. Just this past winter, one of the guys and I, like, we'll get our families together and like have dinner. We co-coached our kids, like our young kids basketball team this past January. Just had lunch with, the founder of Megawatt and then Relatively Irrelevant that we were talking about. I just had lunch with them, 2 days ago. So stuff like this is like, I think it's just awesome bringing people together, and that brings me a lot of joy, just having like a small part of this. Sometimes like during the meetup, I'll just kind of step back and just like look around and seeing all these different people kind of interacting, having a good time, laughing. I love it. I think it's probably my favorite part, seeing all these people come together.
Yeah, it is like the starting point of a community, if that's where you want to take it, you know, and that's been my experience in a lot of the meetups that I've been attending in Michigan and in the Chicago area. So in that regard, like, there are some things that make the community aspect attractive. So first of all, you've got the meetup itself, then you've added in the presentations. Now, do you do a presentation in every meetup? Do you shoot for somebody to come in and do a talk?
We do. Yeah, that's our recipe. There's been a couple where something would fall through, or we would maybe have just a social design here and there, but our meetup is from 7 to 9. People will kind of linger and hang out for, you know, a little bit after, but 7 to 9, and we always try to have a presentation, and I will kind of, you know, people have done a great job at kind of putting their hand up and saying, hey, like, you know, I would like to give a talk on this. We have some that are more regulars, but I feel like it really makes a nice mix for everybody. So for the first half hour, we're hanging out, socializing, everyone gets a chat. And then right at 7:30, I try to be prompt about it, where like right at 7:30, so people know what to expect. And so I don't take this lightly, where people are coming, and you guys know this too, I'm sure you're the same way. People are coming to spend a couple hours. So I feel like there's a certain responsibility of like, one, kind of like, you know, vetting the presentation a little bit. And then two, like managing it time-wise. Because as you know, presentations are tough, because you have such a wide range of people and like where they are at in their Bitcoin journey. You have people like my neighbor who just doesn't know anything about it. He owns Bitcoin now. And then you have the super technical people, and you're never going to please everybody. And so I try to keep, you know, I tell people up front, like, hey, let's try to keep the presentation 20 to 30 minutes. Rev, I don't know if we had this talk, but I try to tell everyone, like, try to keep it 20 to 30 minutes, and then we'll do like 10 minutes of Q&A afterwards. Because even if that way, people that are there, even if that's not their cup of tea, like, that's not the whole thing. Like, I'm sure they're going to get some takeaways out of it, but they're not locked up for an hour and a half and then they drive home. Because that's the other thing too, is we have people that come like an hour, hour and a half, sometimes a couple hours away. So I want to be very respectful for the time, but that's where it is. We have first 30 minutes hang out. We'll do a presentation, QA, and then just completely open it up after that. Don't want to make it too rigid and strict, but that's worked well.
Yeah, we dealt with, I think we went through those kind of growing pains too a little bit, or at least for us, that's kind of how it felt, because we were doing like longer presentations when we first started our educational format. And I was kind of feeling it. It was like, if you hit the wrong topic for the wrong person, you could tell people were kind of checking out. And that was when we switched to a Socratic seminar format for a lot of the same reasons that you're talking about, because then we can hit on multiple topics, right? And we only spend, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes at the most on each one. So we'll talk about a topic, open it up, let everybody say their thing or ask questions, and then we'll move on to something else and try to keep it kind of diverse.
Are these pre-made, predetermined topics in advance, or does like everybody bring a topic, or is it like a mixture of both?
It can be a mixture of both. Most of the ones I bring them pre-made. I always reach out to people ahead of time. I used to do it in our group chat, but then when our group chat kind of died, I've been actually doing it via email. I've got an email list for the group, and I'll send out, say, hey, if anybody has topics that they want to bring up during the seminar, let me know. And we'll add them to the list. And usually there's at least one person we'll say, hey, I saw this in the news. Like, can we make sure we talk about this? Most of the time it's like all the super controversial stuff that I was hoping to avoid. And people are like, hey, you know, we haven't talked about like BIP 110 yet. Like, can we make sure that's on the, I was like, oh, I wasn't really planning on talking about that, but yeah. If that's what you guys are thinking about, I'll put it on the rotation. But yeah, no, it's been cool. And if you haven't listened to our recent episodes, I'm trying something new too now, where it's kind of like a roundtable format, where it's a lot like the Socratic seminar. It's just more open, right? And where people can just, you can bring up whatever you want on the fly.
Been pretty cool. I like that idea a lot.
It works for the smaller meetups. Like, I know you guys have like huge numbers compared to us. You know, we'll do like 8 to 15 is pretty normal for us. And so those roundtable formats work. But that's kind of, actually, I was going to ask you about that. With meetups of your size, I guess you said you've been at the same place for a while, but how was it finding a venue for that type of format? And with presentations and stuff, it's hard to find a place with a screen or whatever you need, or if, I don't know if you bring your own audio, but how's it been going? Like, how was it trying to find the venue that you're at?
We went through several. We were kind of going like the brewery bar route. It's kind of surprising once we started asking around, it's hard to find a good spot. And again, I think we kind of lucked out. I knew the owner of Union Jack. Actually, my wife and I, we bought our first house. It was from him and his wife. And so we got to know him, and he's like, oh yeah, they own this bar. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know of that bar. It wasn't far from the house. And we kind of became friends with them. So I kind of was talking to him one day, and I told him what we were doing, and he's like, oh, we would love to have you over. I was maybe doing the meetup for about a year at that point. And he's like, oh yeah, we would love to have you. And, especially on Wednesday nights, like restaurants, especially these days, aren't always it's like not the busiest. It's a tough business. And we're bringing people in. I figured people would be more accommodating, but before we started at Union Jack, we would, you know, talk to this place. Like, oh yeah, I really like this place. Good food, bar kind of checks all the boxes. There's a back room that would be perfect for us. And then it'd be like, okay, yeah, that's fine, but it's a $500 minimum. And you start running into stuff like that. So, yeah, he's been very accommodating. And even so much so, I can't remember the exact year, but this was probably 3-4 years ago. This was definitely before Cash App and Square started their big push with accepting Bitcoin. But we got him set up with, I don't know if you guys remember IBEX, like IBEX, before it shut down. We got him set up with IBEX, and he was accepting Bitcoin, like accepting Lightning payments for like 4 or 5 months. And it was pretty cool because we told him, like, because even then it kind of works similar to Square now, where you could convert it to fiat, or you could keep it in Bitcoin, or you could do like a 50-50. And he just like left it in there and didn't touch it. And thank goodness it was like, that was in the bear market. And it kind of like, whatever that time frame was, it went up like 4 or 5x. I'm so glad it worked that way instead of the other way. Just another way of kind of getting lucky. Maybe that could be the title of this podcast, just lucking out. I think that kind of sums up our meetup. But yeah, he's been great. And it's still not perfect because we're on, like, there's a bar side. You walk in, the right's the bar, the left's the dining room. And he's still trying to have other patrons on that side. So they reserve tables for us. And if they are busy that night, it can get a little loud. Like, there's been a couple times where we've had to cancel a presentation. So, like, when we have someone like Rev coming in from out of town, I'm, like, getting anxiety about it. It's like, oh, my gosh, like, he's driving all the way down here. We've got all these people coming in to see, you know, see the special guest. And I just hope it's not super loud in there. And it's been okay so far. But, yeah, we just went through, I would say, 4 or 5 places, stumbled upon that. And then I found, like, once you have a good thing, like, try to stick with it. Even though it's not perfect, like, the grass is not greener, I'll still have some members come up and, you know, hey, I think, what about this place, or what about this area of town? Which I'm kind of open for hearing about places. But also, when you have someone that accommodates you, welcomes you so much that he even accepts lightning, that's the one I want to be loyal to a little bit.
Well, yeah, and the noise is another reason to keep the presentation short anyways, right? So if it's, like, too loud in there, everyone only has to struggle through the presentation for, like, a few minutes, and then it's over, and you can just go back to... But, you know, in addition to having the presentation short, it does leave room for this community to develop in other ways. Because, all right, you get to hang out, you get warmed up with a beer or two before the presentation starts, then you... I think a lot of people had the way it lined up is that the food comes out, and then the presentation starts. It seemed that a lot of people were eating while I was presenting over there, which was pretty sweet. So you can just sit back, eat your burger or whatever, and watch the presentation. And then when the presentation's over, you're done eating and you're ready for another beer or whatever. And that's when, I mean, in my case, when I was down there, that's when I started to wheel and deal. Hey, I've got, by the way, I didn't come empty handed. I got maple syrup to sell, relatively irrelevant, had the node that we were kind of working on a deal about. And that's where you can build the relationships that you take, you know, beyond the meetup. So I do think that having that tight presentation length is good.
Yeah. One other thing on the presentation that's kind of come up here recently that I wanted to mention is, like I said, we've had our regulars. If we ever need to, like, relatively irrelevant is always down to give, like, a great presentation. But we try to mix it up, and we go from, like, sometimes, like, a super, it's good to have a mix, like, of, you have your super technical, and then you'll hit, like, a more like a Bitcoin 101, and then one that's more like for kind of like just the finance crowd. What I've really been impressed with lately is some of the newcomers that have, like, the last 3 months, I've had people come to me and say, hey, I would like to give a presentation on this topic. And they're all, like, newer members for the last six months to a year anyway, which I think is really cool. We also have someone that just started a section of the meetup that's called Lightning Social. So we just had our monthly meetup, and this has been awesome. So this guy Doug, he came to me and he's like, hey, I've got this idea. Once a month we could do it, we could just kind of stagger it where it's like 2 weeks away from the main meetup, and we go and we find a local business that is accepting Lightning. We post it, we get people there, and it's, you know, no presentation. It's just purely social. Come hang out, spin Bitcoin, support that business, and hopefully others show up, maybe show them how to, you know, spin sats or whatever. And we're 2 or 3 months into that, but I love that idea. And it's that was just a guy that Doug, that he just started showing up, more recently. He wasn't one of the OGs, and he came up with that idea and just ran with it, which is awesome to see.
I love the idea of staggering it too, but we've talked about, and actually it's, for our upcoming meetup, which is in 2 weeks, when we have this little round table, one of the things that I'm going to be messaging people about ahead of time is to try to think about, cause we've been doing a lot of talking. We've been doing a lot. Hey, we could do this, we could do that. One of the things I kind of try to remind people is like, well, we've got one meetup a month. So it's like, I know we did the Socratic seminars for a long time. We're trying out this new roundtable thing, but, you know, there's only 12 meetups a year. So if you get, you know, if we have like 10 ideas in the hopper, that's just a lot of different things. So I have also floated the idea of doing something like every other week, almost like do kind of like twice a month, because then we could do a completely different thing. And it's like, if it's not your thing, no big deal. You can still come to the regular meetup. That's our normally scheduled thing. So yeah, I like to hear about, you know, the meetups that it's like when you want to add something new, you add it. You know, it doesn't have to take away from anything else that you're doing. It can be a little bit of a bigger ask. But like you said, if this is more like just a social, you know, just it's not like there's a ton that you really need to organize other than getting the word out.
Well, what it sounds like, too, is the beautiful thing is that Doug's really taking charge of it. I mean, Jacob, I'm sure you're not really super involved with that anyways. It's just kind of like, hey, here's the community. I want to do a thing. Does anyone want to join me? And off you go. And that's, I think, who was it? I can't remember which. It's come up more than once, but it's kind of like, you know, hey, we're meetup organizers and we're like the leaders here, but like we don't need to like give you permission to do everything. You know, you guys can just like go start it. If you want to do another meetup on another day of the week, another time of the month at a different location, you can do that. And I'll probably show up to it too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And same, like encouraging others to start meetups. We have a guy, he goes by Pleb. He started a meetup about an hour or so away in Marion. I don't know, Rev, I think you probably met him. He's been to some of the meetups. He's been to Lake Satoshi. I think he might be going this year. But just awesome to see. And just like on for ideas and like stuff we've done to switch it up before, it's kind of fun. We would do a like one summer meetup. We would call it Touching Grass, and it'd be at a park in like June or July, and it'd be on a Saturday. So it's completely different than our normal meetup where it was Wednesday, third Wednesday of the month, bar. This was park at noon, and we would encourage like bring your family, bring your friends. You know, I brought my kids, other people brought theirs. It was running around on the playground, which is just like cool in itself. But we had people show up to that meetup, or every year when we do something like that at the park, we have people show up that would say, hey, I've seen your meetup for a while. Bars really aren't my thing. Or, you know what? I work Wednesday nights. I've been wanting to come, but I can't make it. And like, I'm so happy to see this different date. And that's awesome. You're bringing in a whole different group of people that weren't able to make it before. So that's cool to see too, like who comes out just on a different day, different place, kind of different scene.
So speaking of doing different stuff, I guess I sort of mentioned it already ahead of time with my little pre meetup warm up story, but I think you know I saw it also on you mentioned it to us pre show, but then I see it's like your top tweet here on your Twitter profile is you guys have a beefsteak coming up, and that's also a very different type of meetup. So you want to tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, The beefsteak is taking place of Touching Grass that I was just talking about. So the beefsteak is August 15th from 6 to 9 p.m. And you can find that on Twitter, anyone that's listening. It's $100 a person, which I realize is like, that's not inexpensive, but we're running this at cost. Myself, another guy in the meetup, Isaiah, we are doing this. We love beefsteaks. Like I've been fortunate enough to be a part of a couple of Away Slice beefsteaks and had the best time. So I just at a personal level enjoy it and would like for others in our meetup. So we're going to try it out. We're going to be grilling a ton of steaks. We found a farm here locally. So it's all Indiana beef, grass fed, grass finished. We're sourcing. We're not just going to Costco and buying the meat. So that's why it is a little bit more expensive, but it's great beef, unlimited beers. And we're doing a proper beefsteak on April 15th. So if anybody wants to buy tickets, we have something up on Zaprite. And I don't know if you guys have show notes or something, if you could put it in there, that'd be awesome. But I cannot wait. We're about a month away, or I guess it depends on when this airs, but yeah, April 15th is the date.
So what kind of venue do you guys have for that?
That was another challenge, but it is, it's at a place called Refinery 46, and it's a co-working space. So that was the challenge of to try to keep the cost down Not everyone's cool with you just like rolling in grills in the parking lot and just grilling a ton of meat. And when you tell them, yeah, it's this thing called a beefsteak, it's just basically unlimited meat that you eat with your hands and unlimited beer. They're like, okay, that sounds pretty rowdy. Although I don't think we're going to be that rowdy. Another one, we were really close to signing at one place that was close to where our meetup spot is in Broad Ripple, but they wanted to charge like per beer. Like they're like, okay, you can bring your food in, but you have to pay like $8 a beer. And, you know, that gets real expensive real fast. So yeah, we found this co-working space. We can grill in the parking lot, we'll bring the food in and serve it. We'll have coolers, and that got the cost way down. But yeah, it's still, like I said, it's not cheap, but you can come and get your money's worth. That's for sure. Have you guys both done a beefsteak?
I have not. I have not been able to find my way to a beefsteak one yet. I mean, I guess it sounds like someone needs to put one on here in Michigan. I've been thinking about doing a beach party, because I live down the road from some really nice beaches, man, on Lake Michigan. And it would be cool to maybe combine that with a beefsteak. Why not?
Oh, I love the simplicity of it. Steak, eat with your hands, beer.
Yeah, feet in the sand. Hell yeah. Yeah, that was the one that I did last summer. That was the only one that I've done. But we've been sort of poking OA Slice that maybe, hey, that last one we had up in Great Barrington, that was a good time. Maybe we should do that again sometime. We're hopeful.
So I think we kind of shift gears a little bit. There's a couple of things that I had that I wanted to kind of bring up from my just general lurking in the Telegram. I'm not really as participatory as I have been in the past, but I do see people throwing stuff up for sale. When it gets closer to the meetup, people are kind of selling stuff. And then you guys have this the wheel. I don't know if you're still doing the wheel. And then there's a little bit of like a betting culture in your meetup where people are throwing down some bets. I mean, I've had to shell out some sats. I got a few Telegram, moments there.
Yes. Yeah. It's just looking for ways to spend, send and receive Bitcoin. It's one thing we've been trying to, I think there's an immediate, if there was a chart on like the buying and selling at our meetup, Rev, before you came, it was pretty flat, and then it was like hockey stick. That's one thing that you encourage that. You guys do an awesome job of that in Michigan. We talk about that all the time. So people have been bringing in more stuff, selling. When you mentioned the wheel, that was something fun we've done a couple times, and it's we'll just kind of do whatever the buy-in would be, like a 10,000 sat buy-in, something fun. And we'll put it on the TV. It's a wheel on a website, I'll plug in my laptop, type in everyone's name, and whoever it hits on takes all the sats. And one, it's fun and kind of exciting. And it's like a 100% payout lottery, I guess. There's no take, but it's a good way to get people to like maybe have it to learn how to like work with Lightning. So if somebody wants to participate, we can give them a heads up and say, hey, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Just come and someone will help you download a Lightning wallet. So we'll get a Lightning wallet set up on their phone. We can send some sats, like they could trade some on-chain Bitcoin from their Coinbase account or whatever. Or they could show them how to send it from their, whatever they're used to their new Lightning address, talk about how you back it up. And I mean, for some people that could be the first Bitcoin transaction they've sent. And they're at a meetup with people that are like holding their hands and not judgmental, and they could ask questions. So one, it's fun. And then two, like there's an educational piece about it. But yeah, there's a couple gamblers in the group. There's a shout out to Mike. I'm not sure if that's who you had your bet with. I do have one active bet with him right now. Just speaking of the inside jokes, Mike, I love Mike because, and I've told him this before, I like it when people have opinions and then they're willing to put their sats behind it. And that's Mike. Like he will come out, he'll say something and someone might take the other side And if he's like very opinion on it, he's like, okay, well, should we make a wager? Or if someone brings it up, he's always willing to take action. But it was funny because I think until late last year, he had like never won a bet. He was 0-4, I don't know how many, like losing every single bet. So he loves a bet, but he's like the worst bettor. And the bet he finally won is he took a bet on the other side of over, this sounds crazy now, but over, or he took the under 500K by the end of the year, last year. We had a very bullish member who said that he thought we'd be over 500K. And Mike, being the, I guess he finally got one. He was on the winning side of that. But yeah, it's fun. We have all kinds of different personalities.
Yeah, nothing like just bringing the bear vibes is what finally won the bet, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's more pragmatic. I mean, yeah, it's just hard to see. I don't know. If you hang out for long enough, I guess you realize that things move up fast and hard when they do, but it don't keep going up forever. You know what I mean? It goes down a little bit before it goes back up again. But yeah, you guys got just such a good mix, right? So you got the consistent location, presentations. The presentations are short, which gives people now some time for relatively irrelevant to move some nodes, for Pleb to show up with the Otis Bittmeyer coffee or whatever he's got. And then after the meetup, you can take it to Telegram. And that's where, you know, guys like Doug come in and they're like, whoa, dude, we can also do this Lightning Social stuff. And it just seems like you guys have really got an exemplary Bitcoin culture down there, where it is becoming a community more than just a place for people to come and learn about Bitcoin or experience Bitcoin. It is a group of people who are working together.
Yeah. And I think it's like, you know, if you wonder like, well, how does it get to that point? I think besides just, you know, a lot of good fortune we've had, I think consistency, like having the meetup that third Wednesday of every month, every single month. This, like I said, this October will be 5 years, and we haven't missed a month. Sorry, I kind of lost train of thought there.
Yeah, how do you build the community? How does the community get strong over time? What's the secret sauce there?
Yeah, there's a consistency part, and then I think from my end, or just at the with the co-organ, like myself and a co-organizer, it's just facilitating the meetup. There's not an ego. There's not personalities. There's times where even a Telegram, if there's like a controversial topic, like I'll try not to share my opinion as much. Like I don't want to sway, especially some new people or someone that might be afraid to speak up. If it's someone newer to the Telegram, I don't want to go in and just, I might be one of the couple people they know, like remember their name anyway. So I don't want to go and just immediately take the other side of that. So I think it's important. It's like, I'm like, this isn't me. This isn't my meetup. I kind of look at it as open source. And my job is just to facilitate, like get the tweets out, get it posted on Meetup in a timely manner, and just let what's going to happen organically happen. And I think that's how we've had a lot of success.
I was going to bring up before too, you know, because you mentioned people are getting jobs and like either they already had a job in Bitcoin, right, in Indy for whatever reason. But people are also getting jobs in Bitcoin because of the meetup. And one thing I've brought this up on previous podcasts, and this is a much more direct example than we had back then, is I've always thought, so in Bitcoin, like if you want, let's say you want to work in Bitcoin, or even when you're trying to, either get a following or build your reputation or whatever it is that you're trying to do if you're trying to be vocal online or something like that, Bitcoiners, we're very into reputation, you know, and show me your proof of work. Like it's going to be hard for me to like really trust you until I can see what you've actually got going on. Like if you don't have any proof of work, you know, I can still hear you out and everything like that. I'm not going to shut you down or anything, but it's going to mean a lot more if I know something more about your reputation, about your proof of work. And, you know, I've always thought Bitcoin meetups is a fantastic place for that to start. Like so many Bitcoin jobs and relationships and things like that. These are things that my personal opinion, it takes like at least 10 times as long to build these relationships of trust when you're online only. It's the in real life stuff. That's where you really accelerate and get to know people and find job opportunities or business opportunities. You know, you talked about people building nodes and selling them. Well, hey, you know, now you're building your Bitcoiner resume, so to speak. You know, you're putting in that proof of work. And it sounds like the Indie Meetup, you guys have a huge culture of that, of everybody kind of coming together and showing up to the meetup with whatever they can to try to offer it to everybody else. And it sounds like it's doing a really good job of getting people more plugged into the industry. Is that kind of like what the way that you're seeing it? Or are you just seeing it more like what you said? Everybody's just getting super lucky at the meetup.
I mean, yeah, I think that's true. And just in general, like, I try to stop sometimes and think back to like what it was like on those first couple meetups, because one of the first things we do before we have a presentation, we'll go through, we have like a few rules. But like we'll say we're Bitcoin only, no photos, no talking during the presentation. But before that, even it's, we welcome all the new people. I say this almost every time, but it takes a lot of courage to show up to a meetup where you don't know anybody. So one thing that, you know, I've made a point to try to do, because it's easy when you're at the meetup too, to like kind of hang out with the people like you're most comfortable with. But you really kind of have to, when new people show up, you want to greet them like hopefully as soon as they walk in, but like as soon as you can kind of get over to them. But I think the Indie Meetup has done a great job at, like, it's not just me and it's not just a couple people. It's something that we, like, everyone remembers their first time showing up to the meetup, and they'll remember that first person or two that kind of spent time and talked to them and then introduced them to someone else. So we have multiple people kind of taking that role, which is awesome. And I think that's what keeps a lot of people coming back. Like, that's one of the first things that can happen is, or one of the worst things that can happen is if someone comes in and they sit there for 30 minutes and it's awkward and no one talks to them, or they could get stuck talking to like the wrong person, you know, and have a terrible experience. And then that's it. They like leave early and don't come back. But I think that's a big part of it. But just in general, with kind of where we're at today, and we I don't think we have enough time to get into all this, but like with what's going to happen in AI, I think in-person meeting and in-person relationships is going to be like more and more important. And it's probably going to keep growing in popularity, where we've kind of had this amount of time where we're like more and more online, COVID, people, everyone's at home. Now, I think it's like a pendulum. It'll start, AI, it'll probably peak at some point too, but where it swings back and people like want social, like physical human interaction. So I expect the meetups to be growing and probably more things to spin off, which would be great.
The fact that it's there now means that when, should things get really sketchy with the AI and now you're searching for this in-person community, but it didn't exist. So now what do? You got to build one from zero. Well, if the meetup's still there, it's there and it's still going, then you can just join right in. And there's like we talk about these things kind of as parallel systems. There's a parallel system for you to just, as you, Jacob, is holding the door open. Come on in, join us over here, guys. And whoever wants to come that's getting squeezed out by AI or whatever else wants some reality in their life, you can come to the Bitcoin meetup. And then I think people will realize that once they're at the Bitcoin meetup, this web of trust mechanism where it's like, okay, all these guys kind of know each other. And then I'm hanging out for a while and I get to know one guy really well. Now because like to buy a computer that is to be a Bitcoin node from somebody at a Bitcoin meetup, that's kind of like if you don't know a lot about nodes and all that stuff, you could be like, man, I don't know what this guy's doing with what software he's putting on this computer that I'm going to go plug into my home network. There's got to be a lot of trust involved in that. And so Bitcoin meetups are one of those ways where you can build up enough reputation to confidently have people purchase something like a Bitcoin node from you.
Totally. And I think it's at its core, there's like this level of truth, like that is Bitcoin. and sound money. And that's what all this is kind of built around. It's not something superficial our favorite movie that we just meet every month to talk about, or like a sports team or a celebrity. We're talking about something that we all think is really important. Like what a lot of people say, like maybe like one of the most important things in our lives.
Yeah, man, we're here for the revolution, you know, like that's why this is also a consistent theme on the show is it's like, why are we doing this? You know, why do we spend all this time like and a lot of us, you know, maybe we put in a bunch of money that we could have spent stacking sats, but instead we decided to start building this local community of Bitcoiners. And I think at some point in the beginning, of course, it's great to just hang out with other Bitcoiners, especially that's like an amazing first kind of experience. The first time you get to hang out with people who actually understand like what you're talking about and like what you're passionate about. And like you get to find people who share that passion. But eventually, you know, you guys said you're 5 years in. I mean, at some point along that journey, it became a lot more than just going hanging out and having a couple beers. You know, at some point, you know, people are starting to realize the importance of what's going on. And hopefully that's something that we can continue to embody in the culture. Like for me personally, one of the reasons why we started this podcast is, you know, Rev and I both, right? We want to bring Bitcoin meetup culture back. Like it kind of felt like it was in a big time lull. And we were really feeling like, hey, if we can start spreading the word and get the message out about all these really incredible benefits of starting Bitcoin meetup, we can get that local scene going and start getting all these local communities started. And that's just going to really, really strengthen, you know, the fundamental cause of what we're doing here, because it really, when you have a consensus-based system like Bitcoin that can literally just be changed at any time because it's an open source project, having that core culture, having those core principles like permeate the Bitcoin culture, like in as many ways as possible, it's actually really important for the continued survival of Bitcoin. Like Bitcoin, maybe people think that it's just like this thing that's just guaranteed to be around forever because the game theory just works out that way. But I don't know, man. I kind of think that it's up to us to sort of defend, you know, some of those underlying principles of what Bitcoin is all about. And so talking to other Bitcoin meetup organizers, dude, we're all right here. Whether you put it in those words or not, like we're all here for the revolution.
I love it. I agree.
So if you think you could get lucky one more time with the meetup, what do you think? What's like the next step? Is there something that you guys are looking for? Something you've been thinking about just hasn't happened yet?
I would like to have, in a perfect world, some like, it'd be fun to have like some of the Bitcoin influencer Twitter people, podcasters, come by the meetup. It's always good. These are our best attendance, and it's always a special meetup when we have someone from out of town. Like even like Rev, when you came, you're like a celebrity when you show up. I don't have like a particular like name or anybody in mind. I guess somebody like I think this might have been pre-show, but I mentioned Preston Pish. That's like a podcast I think I followed from like 2017 when he first started talking about Bitcoin, and I would catch his show every single week. Matt O'Dell, Marty. I mean, I'm sure we could all just name off a ton of names, but if things fell in the right place and we got lucky, it'd be cool. It's always cool having like fun guest speakers. So if you know any of these people, send them our way.
There you go. The signal is out there now. And you know, maybe somebody from the indie community that's going to listen to this will have a line to somebody, and that'll get the ball rolling. You never really know.
Sure.
Or maybe somebody from, it's, you know, to continue the theme of what we've been talking about, you know, maybe somebody from your meetup will just become one of those celebrities, right? Like you've got the founding members of Megawatt. I mean, they're probably moving up the chain right there, right?
They're doing a lot of cool things. Yeah. The guys at Megawatt are doing awesome things. I'll mention relatively irrelevant one, at least one last time, because I wanted to make sure I got this out there. So Rev, you mentioned a couple times, like you bought a node from him, and I just want to expand on that a little bit. This guy is awesome. So he has IT background at his job. His last job, he would take, he had a bunch of these old like mini computers. Is that what would you call them? If you've got one, what would you call that little device?
Yeah, it's a mini PC.
Okay.
Mini PC.
Mini PC. And he bought these at cost for, I don't know, like 15, 20 bucks from his employer. They were just like, hey, instead of throwing them away, if anybody wants to buy these, he's like, I'll take them. So he took them, would wipe them completely clean. He would buy a brand new SSD and, you know, build a Bitcoin node, download the blockchain, an updated blockchain on it. And he would go and sell these at cost. And he had sold, I pinged him before I came on, and I was like, hey, I want to throw this number out. I'm like, how many nodes do you have out there? And he has sold over 75, which is awesome. Like, Rev, you bought one. I've got one running in my house right now from him. I would say probably 80% of our meetup does. If we ask, like, who has bought a node from RI, 80% would raise their hand, which is, I think, is awesome. Like, and if you look at, and I don't know if you guys know this number off the top of your head, but like whatever the number of, or even if it's an estimate of like active nodes right now, if 75, even if it's 50 are online, like that's a considerable part of the network, whatever that percentage comes out to be, which is just super cool. And he spun up a website called servingbitcoin.com. where people can go online, buy a node. Maybe got some educational stuff on there, but just like super cool. That him doing that in megawatt, along with everything else, I'm like, it just blows my mind. Like, there's people that are part of this meetup that are just doing like an awesome thing and making a difference. Like, just those two examples right there, like getting nodes out in the world and mining Bitcoin. Like, they're making a difference in Bitcoin.
Yeah, no, so I was looking at, I checked out servingbitcoin.com, like, before we hit record. Dude's got decent prices, too. Like, because a lot of the, especially, like, SSD prices have gone up significantly, like, this year. But he's still got decent prices on here, from what I could see. Like, these all come with 2 terabyte drives and stuff, and they're pretty affordable. Like, even if you wanted to go part them out yourself, it'd be tough to do better than what's on the site.
I know for the longest time they were at cost, or at least like for meetup members. I know if you show up at the meetup next month or the month after, even if he has a tiny markup right now, I think you'd probably be getting that thing at cost.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I think why would you want to sell something at cost? What business does that ever make sense in? Well, it's like if you have too much fiat and you need some Bitcoin and you want KYC free Bitcoin, you can just take the fiat, turn it into material capital, and then sell the material capital for Bitcoin. And now you get KYC, you can actually earn the Bitcoin by taking your dollars and turning it into something that the Bitcoiners want. Because Bitcoiners don't want dollars. I'm not going to a meetup to buy dollars with my Bitcoin. You know, I want to buy coffee. I want to buy stuff that I can't get with my Bitcoin otherwise.
Yeah, and the same for receiving, right? Like, that's what I've been trying to get across in my meetup, too, is it's like, you know, dollars I have. What I don't, like, what I want is the no KYC Bitcoin. And I started also, like, one of the things, I think I've talked about this before, but my KYC-free Bitcoin stack, my whole concept for that also was I just want to take my fiat, buy some things, and then sell them for Bitcoin. And then all I have to do is break even, and I'm getting a great deal. Because if you were going to get KYC free Bitcoin, usually you pay a premium for that.
Yeah.
So even if you break even, like, you're doing great. That's a great stacking strategy.
Yeah. And that's actually one thing I've mentioned over time at the meetup I wish we would be a little bit better at, is as life events come up, if someone ever wants to, I wish there was more just outright buying and selling between members. I know it's kind of awkward. Like, nobody wants to maybe be like, yeah, I've got it. Especially when you can just go easily on your, you can go on your phone and sell it and get it in your, you know, in your bank account. But I wish if someone did need to sell for whatever reason, and I don't really have a good system to do this. So I thought like, maybe even if it's like, you know, well, tell me or tell, you know, so-and-so at the meetup, you don't have to post it on Telegram in front of everyone. Like, hey, I'm having a hard time. I need to sell some Bitcoin. But we've all been there when things come up, but I would rather see someone else in the meetup be able to take, to get that KYC free Bitcoin rather than just going and like selling it to an exchange. So that's one thing we've kind of thought about over time, but we've never had a good system for. So I don't know if you guys have encountered that or what you do.
Reed and I have been talking about it, and it's kind of come up on the show before. And that's that, I do think that the local price of Bitcoin will diverge like significantly from the spot price. Especially if there's, I mean, like I could imagine in places like Europe where it's like much more, clamped down, that this would be the case. I don't know. We'll have to go start talking to people, Bitcoin meetup organizers in Europe, but there is going to be this divergence in the price. And so, like one way you could figure that out is like, just offer to, sell your Bitcoin, you know, like, all right, does anyone want to buy, or I don't, maybe I'm thinking about this backwards. Yeah, you could say, I want to buy some Bitcoin, and nobody's going to want to sell it, right? Everyone's going to be like, I don't want your dollars. I already have, why would I sell you my Bitcoin? And then you could say, well, how about 5%? No. How about 10%? No. 15? At some point, somebody's going to say, all right, I'll give you the Bitcoin. I'll take the, I'll give you the Bitcoin. I'll take the cash. I'll take that cash and I'll go buy the Bitcoin again on the exchange.
It's arbitrage right there.
And catch the spread. And just something, right, to get the, Reed, I think maybe you had a better, I probably did a bad job of explaining that. I think.
No, that was pretty close. I mean, we were literally just talking about this. So this is my idea for my next meetup, actually, was I was going to bring cash and say, you know, because I've just been trying to stimulate, just like you're talking about. How do we get people into this mindset of like, how do we stimulate some of this local economy stuff? And so this was going to be my example for the next meetup is I was going to bring cash and say, like, let's say it's $100, right? So I'm going to say, okay, well, I'd like to buy $100 worth of Bitcoin, you know, current price of Bitcoin, let's say it's 65K. I'd be like, you know, does anybody want to sell me Bitcoin at 65K? Yeah, well, probably no takers, right? So I'll say, okay, how about 68K? How about 75K? Right? And so now they're like, oh shit, like, yeah, remember back when we weren't like in this, the depths of the bear market? Like it would be kind of nice if I could have sold some Bitcoin then because I could just buy it back lower. And so I'm hoping that instead of talking about it with the percent spread and people going like 5% of $100, what's that, like $5? Like, I don't know, like it doesn't seem worth it. But then if you start talking about it as the price of Bitcoin, I'm hoping maybe that starts getting their FOMO back in gear and they're like, oh shit. Yeah, that 100K Bitcoin? Like, damn. Like, yeah, I would sell Bitcoin at 100K if I can buy it back at 65. So I don't know. We'll see. That's my idea for the next meetup.
Well, and so that's what, once people know that there's a premium they can catch at the meetup, that creates an incentive for them to try and find the deals at the meetup first. And if that's not the case, then they can go take the convenience of the exchange. But like for me, I mean, and this is how I've been for years. I want to do all my Bitcoin sales at meetups. I don't, why, you know, the Bitcoin's also going back to the local community. Like I'm pretty sure that the people I'm selling the Bitcoin to are going to hodl it. But anyway.
Yeah. So we're just over the hour mark here for the show. And so usually around now is when we start kind of, usually what we do is we go around and see if people have any either closing thoughts or key takeaways from what we talked about or if there's anything that you want to bring up that you didn't have a chance to. So I'll kick it to you, Jacob, first, if you wanted to go, if you had just final thoughts or any kind of key takeaways.
Okay. I think I've hit everything that I wanted to make sure I brought up. I didn't forget anything. But I just want to thank you guys again for having me. It's awesome to talk to other meetup organizers about Bitcoin meetups. It's something we're all very passionate about. And I would just encourage like people that are listening, if you if you're listening to this podcast and you somehow have not started a Bitcoin meetup, take the action. Maybe send Brandon Quittam a DM on Twitter and he'll have a Google sheet full of ideas for you. But I would just say, go ahead and take the action. It has been by far one of the most rewarding things I've done in my life, frankly. And I wish more people would get to experience it.
Oh yeah. And we have, it was so cool when you told that story, how Brandon had all those whatever good practices or whatever that he sent you, because that was one of the first things I thought too. And so last fall, I started a GitHub repo with all the best practices that I could think of, and started adding to it. Before this podcast, I was running quarterly calls where I would try to get other Bitcoin meetup organizers from around the country, around the world, that we had met at Grassroots, and we would just talk and chat and exchange best practice. And I would keep writing stuff down in this GitHub repo. So that was actually that was our episode one of this podcast, was going through all kinds of stuff that either we had gotten from other people or we had learned ourselves. And, Rev has all kinds of good stuff that his meetup and my meetup were very different at the time. And I think we're both starting to learn from each other and to learn from all the guests on this podcast, and things are evolving, in a really good, cool way. I think we're hoping that this podcast will make a lot of Bitcoin meetups grow and evolve, and hopefully a whole bunch of new ones pop up. So totally endorse your message there. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
How about you, Rev? You got anything?
Well, what is the saying? Luck is found at the intersection of preparation and opportunity. And, where is the opportunity? The opportunity is at the Bitcoin meetup. You can see after our discussion tonight, if you go to the Indianapolis Bitcoin meetup, there's a lot of opportunity for you there, to build community, to interact with local Bitcoiners. And all you have to do is show up with a little bit of preparation in mind. If you're listening to this show and you're interested in going to the Indy meetup, you already kind of know what you could get into going over there. And so, yeah, if you're looking to get lucky, you got to go to the meetup.
Hell yeah.
Love it. Hey, strong Bitcoin meetups here in the Midwest. Indy, the things you guys are doing in Michigan, Ohio, Scott and Tally down in Kentucky.
Yeah, Illinois. It's the whole region. We're going to be working our way over to the West Coast. I think we've gained a lot of people interested in saying, hey, we got stuff going on over here too. We spent a lot of time, in this Midwest area recently. So, but yeah, by showing it all, doing these shows all together, it really does showcase the strength of the Bitcoin culture.
Yeah, it's actually been working out really well. And just credit where credit's due, Rev, this was your concept for how we should start putting the shows together. And I think it's been going really well. So what we've been doing is trying to focus on different regions, right? And so we can talk to a bunch of Bitcoin meetup organizers who are all, let's say, maybe almost in driving distance of each other, where, okay, maybe it's a bit of a drive, but, we can all get to each other's meetups. Maybe some of the organizers know each other. And one of the other themes that has continued to come up throughout this podcast is the idea of regional events. So it's hey, we can talk about all these cool meetups independently, but there's opportunities also for all this cross-pollination and for maybe events that is an excuse to get everybody together. We've been talking about Lake Satoshi is kind of this big gathering, and maybe it's heavily Midwest focused. Of course, everybody's invited, but certainly a lot of that Michigan and Indiana type scenes are going to be, that'll be maybe the majority of the attendees. So yeah, it's been really cool just to kind of tour the different regions here. And like Rev said, we've got West Coast. We've also been, there's a bunch of people from Europe. We're going to have to see if we can figure out a different time for everybody, if we're going to deal with weird time zones. But Central South America, there's meetups all over the place. And we're really looking forward to hopefully getting to know everybody and getting everybody's meetup story out there. And I don't know, the more we can learn from each other, the stronger we're all going to be. So
I know we already tried to end the show, but I do want to bring up too, so we just talked to Cincinnati and they're totally in range of doing this beefsteak, and Indianapolis is totally in range of going to Columbus for the Midwest Bitcoin Summit. And so this is the other cool thing is that now, maybe Louisville folks and the Cincinnati folks and the Cleveland folks didn't know that there was going to be this beefsteak happening. And we might get some cross-pollination and better attendance on the beefsteak because of that too.
Yeah, we would love that. That would be awesome.
All right. So, you know, Jacob, obviously, so thank you so much for coming on the show. We, as we explained pre-show, we run this show kind of in two halves. And so the first half of the show is sort of like the interview section, right, where we talk to other Bitcoin meetup organizers and things like that. Normally, the second half of the show is where we do our value for value segment. But since this particular episode, so I'll just full disclosure for people listening, today is July 10th. And so this episode, I think, might not be coming out for several weeks. And because of that, it doesn't really make sense for us to do our normal format. So what Rev and I were thinking is what we'd like to talk about is some of the community building stuff that we have been doing with this podcast and with our website. And, you know, Jacob, if you want to hang out for that, you know, you're more than welcome to hang. Please participate. I mean, this is all relevant for Bitcoin meetup culture, but also just community building in general. Like this is, we're going to be talking about a lot more than just the podcast or a lot more than just Bitcoin meetups. Those are just two examples of communities that you can bring together with some of the tools that we've been building. And so we thought this would be a good excuse for, since we're not going to do our normal, go running through the boosts and stuff like that, that we would just spend a little bit of time talking about the community building stuff. So again, you know, thank you so much, Jacob, for coming on and everything. And I guess I'm not sure if you're going to stick around, but just in case, yeah,
I'll hang if you guys don't mind.
Absolutely.
I won't do as much talking this time. I'll kind of hang and hear you guys out.
Yeah, sweet. Okay. So Rev, I guess we're playing a little bit by ear here, but with that sort of introduction, did you want to get where do you want to start with this part of the conversation?
Well, so I think a lot of this comes down to this concept of the nine forms of capital. This is really the lens that I've been filtering all of our everything that we're doing through, and that also carries on into the meetups themselves. And so this idea is that basically you spend your time. That's the only thing you can do is you're always spending time. And so if you can spend your time for each unit of expenditure of your time, you're building more than one form of capital simultaneously. Basically, you're doing more than one thing at once. You know, you're doing two things at once, three things at once. If you can accomplish that, then you build wealth. And this is true of cultural capital. So cultural capital is the collective intellectual and experiential capital of a group. And so in order to have a culture, you need to have a defining border of a group. And so In this instance, through the context of the podcast, you know, our community, the podcast is sort of a defining border of the group. A Bitcoin meetup is a defining border of a group. And more broadly, Bitcoin in general is a defining border of a culture, right? And so if we can find ways to maximize with every expenditure of our interaction, more than one thing happening, that builds enough cultural capital for us to gain strength and for the community to flourish.
Yeah, we've talked about the borders thing before. It's cool to hear you bring it back up again in that context. And actually just hearing you say that out loud a little bit, it really makes me think about, because we're living this, right? We're growing this community from zero, right? When I say this community, what I mean specifically is our podcast, because we both, you know, when we started this, we weren't coming in with any kind of big, this is our first podcast, so we weren't putting it on a existing network or anything like that. And the way that we've decided to define the boundaries of that, because we can't find every single listener, you know, we don't know like who these individual people are, but we do know the individual people who have boosted us, and especially the people who boost us when they tie their Noster NPub to it. So because Fountain's like platform, or platforms like Fountain, or clients, I suppose you could call it, like Fountain, allow for some of these Noster integrations. Now, when you boost the pod, we know who you are. Like, we know what your NPub is. We can find you on Noster. And I do find, you know, we talk a lot about Noster on this show, but there's not a podcasting platform where you can boost a show with your Twitter profile name. Like, that just doesn't exist. because it's a closed, it's a walled garden. Like maybe if X came out with their own podcasting thing, then maybe you could do it. But again, you'd just be in another walled garden. Podcast is this open standard, this open format. It's just like an XML file with a, you know, with an MP3 hosted somewhere on the internet. And now though, with podcasting 2.0, there are tools that we can tie together payments. And now with Nostr, we can tie together identities. And so that's really been the way that we have been able to find and clearly demarcate like the boundary of our community. So we do that like right now on our website. You go to localbitcoiners.com/supporters and you get to see everyone who's boosted our show. Like you can see all our guests are on there. You can see all the people who have boosted the show. And so now that we have this community, we can start to do cool stuff. And so I think that's some of the stuff that we want to talk about during this segment.
Yeah. And so that this kind of leads into this idea of the value chain that we talk about often. And so when somebody, what incentive does the community have to interact with the show? We need, if we're trying to build culture, there needs to be incentives for the culture to participate in the culture, right? To share their intellectual and experiential capital. And so if it's just a one-way flow of information where somebody boosts the show, they send us value in the form of sats, and then a message that is just in direct response to the content of whatever particular episode is, that's one thing. It's effective, but it could be so much more effective if we get that interaction to do more than one thing, to go elsewhere to create incentives for people to maximize that effort. And so we're trying to encourage people not only to just say, hey, thanks for doing the show, but take the opportunity to like let everybody know about a meetup that you have going on. Let everyone know about a product that you're selling. And so we can, this is leading into like how we're taking that a step further is it's when you do let somebody know that there's a meetup going on or a product that you're selling. Now, thanks to the beautiful thing of Nostr, we can easily aggregate that all right on our website. So now all of a sudden our audience and our community is able to populate a marketplace that is defined by the border of our own community, our own culture, and a set of events, a list of events that everyone is vouching for, that these are legit meetups that you can go to. You can add whatever you want to that, Reed. I'm done there.
Yeah. So what you're getting into right now. So this is a new, so it all goes back to, or at least for this part of the discussion, because there's other things as well. But for this part of the discussion, what it comes down to is now that we have successfully identified our community, now it opens up the ability for us to do cool stuff. And so what are those, what do you mean cool stuff? Like what kind of cool stuff can you do just because you know someone's NPub? Like what kind of cool stuff is that? Well, the very first thing we did is like we built the supporters page. Just so, you know, now, okay, the first cool thing, you get to see everyone's profile picture, right? And for all the guests on the show, you get to find all our guests, and you get to know what episode they came on.
Shout out Sovereign, BTC, Jackalope, and Matthew D.
Hell yeah. Yeah, right there. Those are our top tier supporters. So it's funny. So you bring that up. Maybe I'll pivot to that real quick, right? Because we haven't even talked about that part of it. But so we have normally when we do the show, the second half, the first thing we talk about is our leaderboards. And so because we can keep track, because all the sats are coming into my Lightning node, like when you boost the show, like my split of the sats hit my Lightning node. And my Lightning node is running on it's literally on an HP mini PC that looks a heck of a lot like the ones that we were just talking about. And so, you know, my node picks those up. And now, thanks to the power of AI that I've gotten more accustomed to, I've been able to deploy all these scripts and stuff that just run in the background on these computers, watching out for transactions. We send out boost messages automated on Nostr. It's like we have boost bots that send stuff out, and we keep track of all the data. So we know how many sats everyone's boosted us. And so now we can have all these tiers of supporters. But the next cool thing that we did was each on Nostr, there's this idea of something called a follow pack, which is you can drop all of these NPubs into these groups. And hey, if you're like, dude, I would love to follow everyone who's been on your show. Like, that's kind of a cool thing. And so now if you go to our supporters page, you can see there's a supporters follow pack. You click on that and now you can just go follow all of our guests in one shot. And the same with our supporters. Each tier of supporters comes with their own follow pack. And so, like you said, those three folks you called out, I'm doing it from memory here, Matthew D, Sovereign, and BTC Jackalope. Those guys have their own little mini follow pack. And so if you want, oh, I just want to follow your top tier supporters because those guys are awesome and they support your show. Boom, one click, you can go follow those guys on Noster. So that was some of the low hanging fruit.
That's so cool. Just that right there. Did you guys come up with this or have you seen that? Did you kind of borrow that idea from somewhere else?
We're pioneering here. Like this is all new stuff. Yeah.
If it is influenced by someone else, we don't necessarily, when we're having our conversations, it's very seldom that we're like referencing specific implementations of any of this. I think the only, one of the big inspirations has been what the Bugle guys did with the Maxi Madness competition on Noster. That was where, that was kind of what inspired a lot of us trying to dig into it a little bit more in the first place.
The gamification of it all.
Yeah. For the most part, we're just kind of reinventing the wheel if it's already been done out there. I think I saw a meme recently where it's like, oh yeah, wait 3 years and people will be coming back and building apps, the vibe coding apps, and then we'll be pointing them to these apps that were already done 3 years ago that already exist. You know, you just didn't know about it. And maybe that's the case with what we're doing is like, we think that we're, you know, coming up with some of these things ourselves, but it's, you know, people can have ideas simultaneously. But no, I don't know if there's anyone that we're really following along with. Maybe Bowl After Bowl, Sir Spencer and
yeah, we're Delorean learning. There's a lot of different places that we're learning from and growing alongside of. It's been interesting to watch, like the combination of Noster and the AI tools has led to kind of an explosion of people experimenting with stuff, which is exactly what we're doing. Like none of the stuff that we're doing with this podcast would be possible. Like I'm not a developer. Like I'm not a Noster developer. Like I've said it before. I have no right building a Noster client like what we have on our website. And you might not think of our website as a Noster client, but that is kind of what it is. And it's actually becoming more and more of a Noster client the more we go. Like the first thing you can do on our site is log in with Noster. And now you're here with your identity and you can boost every episode and it'll be tied to your identity or you can interact with the show. And have it be connected to your identity. And so maybe this is the segue, though, to where I was originally going with this, which is our community feeds. So community feeds was the next kind of idea that we had for how what can we do now that we've demarcated our community? Now we know who is in our community, but now what can we show? And so we've built out two community feeds so far. We have, and so this is all on localbitcoiners.com/feeds. And we do have previews of these feeds right on the homepage. You have to scroll down a little bit, but they're there. And that'll give you a link over to our community feeds. So the first one we have are marketplace items. And so this is anyone who's, you know, one of the cool things you can do on Noster, right? Noster is not just Twitter. It's not just a social media thing. You can, for example, list items for sale on Noster. And so we call those NIP99 events, or at least that's the modern implementation of it. And so if anyone in our community is selling anything on Noster, well, now you're going to show up on our website. And in fact, you can actually check out on our website. You can buy their stuff on our website and they will get the payment because that's the way Noster works, right? Is, you know, your payment details are all set in your profile. So when you go to check out, I'm going to get, if you try to, like we've got, okay, Otis Bittmeyer is selling Sound Coffee, right? He's one of the ones that's selling here. You can add him to your cart right on the website. And when you go to check out, you get to see his shipping information gets pulled up because it's all part of his Noster listing, includes the shipping costs. And so now our site is being able to aggregate all of the items that are for sale from everyone in our community. And so it's just kind of a cool little community building thing. Now you get to see kind of what everybody has going on for sale. And, you know, you can, if somebody's got something cool, you can reach out and you can know that you're buying from someone who's also a local Bitcoiners community member, supporter.
Yeah, there is like a little bit of a web of trust element built into it without really using quote unquote web of trust, just through the fact that we gate it by the interaction with the show. Like there are some minimum requirement of interacting with the show for you to even have your stuff propagate here in the first place. Yeah. And it's a cool thing with like the follow packs too. Imagine as time goes on, especially with the guests, like pretty soon there's going to be a long list of meetup organizers. And if you're into Bitcoin meetups and that's your kind of thing, you'll be able to get ideas and what's going on from all these meetup organizers all over the country and in the future, all over the world. Everyone's been trying to find this one spot where all the meetups can live. And it's like, well, we don't need to find the spot. We just need everyone to, you know, put their meetup in a place where somebody like local Bitcoiners where it can be finally pulled out of the ether and displayed somewhere.
Well, that, Rev, is a perfect segue to the next community feed, right? Because the next community feed, the second one that we built out, actually, I think I introduced them in reverse order. I think events was actually the first one I built out. So on the events feed, what you can do is you can click on that, and now you can see any meetups or any event of any kind that people have listed who are, again, in our community. So if you're in a, that's funny. I clicked on it. I see Mark has listed a whole bunch of interesting things on here, like get the mail and doing dishes. And so maybe Mark has got something going on where maybe he's building a little, his own little personal reminder calendar app. I'm not sure. These are new. This is the first I have seen these. But the point is, if you're in our community, you get to see everyone's events that they're posting. And these are public, right? These are posted to Noster. And a lot of them are meetups, right? So a whole bunch of the ones on here, aside from Mark doing all kinds of interesting testing, a lot of these are meetups.
Maybe that's bounties, man. Maybe he's like trying to get his neighbors to like do something for him. And like they have to like, I don't know.
I hope so, because he has a busy day tomorrow. It starts at like 3 a.m. It goes through like 8. It goes all the way through like 3:30.
Yeah, this is the first I've seen this. This is funny. I like
clean
that.
Hope you get those bathrooms clean, Mark.
Vibe code, yeah, something, so, maybe.
But yeah, it's cool because, again, going back to Noster being more than a social platform, like another thing you can do on Noster is post meetups. And look, if everybody let everybody post their meetup somewhere else, okay? Like everybody's got either meetup.com or Luma or Eventbrite or, you know, their own personal website or nowhere. And they just show up at the same time at the same place and they just rely on their Telegram chat or whatever to get the word out. So it would be kind of impossible. And that's what there have been many efforts in the past have been done to try to find and aggregate and list all the Bitcoin meetups all over the world. But the other challenge, even if you find all the meetups in the world, that's only at a static point in time. New meetups are starting, old meetups are dying or closing off. Maybe there's a meetup this month, but maybe there's not next month. It just kind of depends. Like just because you know there's a meetup in Indy, you don't know when the next meetup is. You know, maybe they haven't had a meetup since last year. It's hard to tell. Just because they have a meetup.com page doesn't necessarily mean that they're active. And so this has been a big challenge for the entire meetup community. Like this has been sort of something that multiple people have put in lots and lots of effort to try to find and aggregate these things. And we're just taking a different approach. Our approach is, hey, just list it wherever you're going to list it. List it on meetup.com, list it on your website, wherever you want to post it. Like if you think that's where the normies are going to find you, great, no problem. Like we fully admit normies are not going to Noster to try to find their local Bitcoin meetup. We know that. But the point is, if you also post it on Noster in addition to where you're posting, now you get to get plugged in. A whole bunch of new apps can spin up like ours, like the localbitcoiners.com website, can spin up and we can identify all the upcoming meetups. Like the default view here for our community's feed is the current month. So you're only seeing real live upcoming meetups. Like these are meetups coming up for this month. And you can, you know, you can go forwards and backwards in time. You can pick a different month or a different year and see what meetups are posted, but you're only going to get what people have actually posted to Noster. So again, it's just another way that we can, it's doing multiple things, but so first it's kind of flexing a little bit, like some of the hey, these are things you can do on Noster that you can't do elsewhere. But it's also, it's highlighting the people in our community, right? A lot of people in our web of trust who boost the show are either Bitcoin meetup organizers or they attend their local meetup. Because the meetup organizer doesn't even have to be the one to post it. Anybody can post it on Noster. You know, you just tag the, if your meetup's got an NPub, you can just tag their NPub. But yeah, anybody can list
the meetup. How can we get our meetup posted here?
So interesting. So I'm glad you mentioned that. What a segue, right? Because we've been talking about the last few episodes. We have been trying to get folks to use our website to post events on Noster. One of the reasons why we like to do that is for visibility for the show. Like if you do it that way, it gives you an opportunity. If you can do it and include, let's say you throw us 100 sats. You boot, you know, oh, I want to list my meetup on Noster, but I'd love for the local Bitcoiner guys to talk about it on their show. So what you can do is we have a meetups page. So again, some of these things, we're all developing these things in, at the same time. And so it's possible that we slide things around now that we have the community feed. I'm not 100% sure, but as of right now, it's localbitcoiners.com/meetups. And that's where you can share your meetup. So you can either, if you've already posted it to Noster, you can share it that way. But you can also just click on this create new button and it'll walk you through. Okay, give us, you know, your the title of your event, description, start date, end date. You can upload a picture. If you've already posted your meetup on Noster and you're like, well, it's the same as Lathma, just a different time, you can import, right? You can say, oh, can I just import my meetup from last month? And so you click on the import export options. And then pick your meetup from last month. It'll copy in all the information and you can just change the date or the title or the description or whatever you want.
Yeah, that's what I do when I use the tool. I've just, since once you get a meetup in there, it's really easy to like continue to make the new ones, especially if there's not a lot, you know, I mean, maybe with the indie meetup, you're going to have to change the presentation, like who's presenting or whatever. And like with mine, sometimes I used to do all the Socratic seminar links in the event, but now I'm just like, I'll just put the Socratic seminar links in the group chat, but there's, you know, whatever. So it's very easy to do once you get one rolling.
So, yeah, so these are, you know, so we're talking about community features. So we're building a community for our podcast and our podcast is about Bitcoin meetups. And so the community that we're building out features that we think are going to be good features for our community. But you, it doesn't have to be, any community could do what we're doing. You know, if you're a musician and you're posting your music on an RSS, this is a fantastic tool for you to collect your fan base. You can find all the people who have been sending you sats all these years and you can pull them all together and have a supporters page and let them flex. There's a lot of people out there who would love to flex that they're a top supporter of their favorite artist. That's a great thing, especially now the artist gets to know. They get to know you as a person because you're, hey, you're like our top supporter. Of course we know who you are. So these are tools that, so local musician or musicians on Noster, right? Or on RSS, people who are doing the decentralized music thing. Very easy corollary, right? It's almost the exact same thing as a podcast. Other podcasts could do this, but this is not limited to just people who have an RSS. Meetups could do this. Okay. You're not going to get this, like, it's not the exact same thing. You're not going to be getting boosts coming in from an RSS. You're not going to be tracking stuff on your Lightning node, but there's a lot you can still identify your community and have like community feeds and show what everyone in your community is selling. This is very similar to what Augie has been working on with his Bodart thing. And we've heard from him talk about that before. Some of, again, I think, Jacob, you were asking us, oh, has anyone else ever done this? Certainly there are a lot of people that we've been inspired by. And Augie is definitely one of those people. Like, we're all kind of learning from each other here about what's going to work. And we're throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. And so he has also had a lot of these same ideas. Like, okay, I have my meetup. I know the end pubs of the people in my meetup. I want to show what they have for sale on the website. That's actually something that we did also on our Western Mass Bitcoin website, is we now have a thing where people, if you're selling stuff on Nouster, you can post it as a Nouster event and it will show up on our website. So these, I don't know, one of the focuses I think that we wanted to have for the second half of the show was to, sure, we want to show what we're doing with localbitcoiners.com, but also just to talk about how other communities can do this. I think, Rev, you mentioned somebody had brought up a church group. Like, there's no reason why a church group couldn't do this. As long as, once people get these identifiers, it's a public identifier, right? That's what an NPUB is. It's your identity that's public, that everyone knows that that's you. And only you control that NPUB because you have the private key. Once you have those identities, there's cool stuff that you can do to build your community. And there's all kinds of Nouster features that maybe not everybody's using all these features yet, but maybe it's because no one's displaying them. Like, no one's giving you a great way to interact with them.
Well, and I think, like, the other thing is that most of the time, the way you interact with Nouster is it's public. So any of those messages that you're signing and putting out there, anyone else can see that you've made that message and signed it. And so, I mean, most of the time this works out. Like, I'm aware that if I'm zapping somebody and I'm zapping all over the place, that this information can be like aggregated together and somebody could get an idea of how much financial activity I'm doing. So why would I do it? Well, I've got to have some incentive. And the incentive is like, yeah, having it publicly known that I paid this. I want everyone to see that. That's why I want them to see that I put the 21 sats out there or whatever. And so if everyone's putting this public information out there and it's on Nouster, now you can aggregate it and use it in all different kinds of ways to create games to further the incentive. And games is the distillation of like just playing around with general structures of real actual things to begin with, right? Oftentimes games are just a distillation of something from reality in the first place. So you can use all this information to create a game to test out your idea about how to do something with the community. Once again, create incentives for people to maybe, like I was talking about with Mark and his Oopsies events on there, like, oh, got to go clean the bathroom. But like, maybe he's trying to create incentive for a bounty system, right? I'm very interested in trying to create bounty systems for meetups where, you know, you put some sats out there and say, hey, this would be really cool if someone made a flyer for the next upcoming meetup. I got 5K sats on it, 10K sats on it. I actually just did this recently with the Grand Rapids social meet. But that instance was in the Telegram group chat, and I sent I sent eCash to the guy who did the flyer. And so now all of that record it's not there. You know, so if it was on Nouster, now it could be aggregated and it could be, that dude could be like, look, this guy's claimed all these bounties, a really big participant of the meetup. Or in the other instance of Bitish, who's talking about donations, and like, they've got a special area of their Discord channel for donors and stuff like that. Well, it's like, you, instead of boosting a podcast, you could donate to the meetup through the meetup's website and then have the message that goes along with that read off at the next meetup, right? And those people get recognized, and then their message would also live on the website. And then there could be some tallies of how much people have donated. And now all of a sudden you've got a treasury going where you can fund more bounties and do more cool shit for the community. And all of a sudden you've got what's looking like, I don't know, something that has economic power that can do stuff. Like, when the community wants to do something, you got the sats and the people willing to participate to make it happen.
100%.
So Nouster makes all that data available and aggregatable, and it's not walled off. Like, if we are trying to do this on any other system, a platform instead of a protocol, then there's this risk of getting rugged or shadow banned or whatever over time. Somebody else is in control. Whereas Nostr, it's just open. We can either choose to do it or not, but it's always there.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Nostr is it's a different thing. You know, it's just not something that everyone is maybe very used to interacting with in that way. Like, for example, we like to say Nostr is censorship resistant, right? Because Elon can't just take your tweet down if he doesn't like it. However, if you're only posting to one relay, that relay can take your note down, you know? So you are posting to centralized places, but the point is you can do it to many different places. And so if you're posting to, let's say, five different relays, well, now you need to have five different relays all censor you at the same time. But you can do even more than that. And when you are selecting which relays, maybe you want to pick them in geographically distributed locations, or maybe you want to pick them in different jurisdictions where you feel more comfortable, that you are less likely for them to be pressured by the local governments. Or maybe you want one of them to be on your own relay that you run yourself, that you know you're not going to censor yourself. And so you know your notes will continue to live on. However, just like you're saying, Rev, it's all very public, right? Like, it's great when you install a Nostr app, when you install the app, like most of the time, and we're all used to these days, right? You install an app, you now have to click, you say, yes, I've read the terms and conditions. And of course, you didn't read the terms and conditions, and the terms and conditions are all full of them telling how they're just collecting all your data and they're probably going to go sell it to the highest bidder. Well, it's great because when you install a Nostr app, there's nothing like that. However, your data is still out there. It can be collected. It can be aggregated. This is not a great place for you to be saying things privately. Like, there are private messages that you can have on Nostr, but most Nostr communication is very, very, very public. So that's something to keep in mind. But at the same time, it opens up, just like you were saying, Rev, all these possibilities. Now, who has access to the data? It's not like X doesn't have access to the data. Everyone has access to the data. So when localbitcoiners.com decides to start up a website, yeah, they have access to my data the same that everybody else does. And so if they want to aggregate it and do cool stuff with it, that's their prerogative. That's what they can do. And so I guess it's the openness, having all this information actually out in the public square, it actually takes a little bit of getting used to, I think, because again, like kind one notes, they're also very difficult to delete, right? It's hard to delete stuff on Nostr too, because you've got to trust that all those different relays are actually going to go and take your message down if you request it. But it does take a little bit of getting used to.
I think we're starting to find like a little bit of the ephemeral nature of some of the kind one stuff too, where, I think it's been since like 2023. I don't remember when I started doing Nostr, but I'm having trouble getting back and finding my old notes because I wasn't really, the relays that are ebbing and flowing and changing, and I don't know how to find all this stuff on all those relays that are out there. It just makes it so if you do want to archive your stuff, you should have your own relay. But yeah, like in the case of Twitter selling the information, now they can just sell it to the bad guys or whoever they want to sell it to. But in Nostr, it's like the good guys can get it and the bad guys can get it. And like, I think that this information can be used as a force for good, for community building, like we're talking about. For really creating, once again, the incentives for people to participate and interact with each other and to build culture together in a way that hasn't been possible on the internet, at least through the context of Bitcoin. It seems like ever since I've been playing around with Bitcoin, I have not seen anything like this. And it is very exciting to me to be able to showcase some of these ideas and concepts around how you can use this information and create cool shit out of it that people get value out of. One thing that we didn't talk about yet by the time people are listening to this will be happening, is like, okay, so we're a podcast And we've got a lot of people that are in our community that are listening to podcasts. So wouldn't it be cool if we could see all the podcasts that everyone's listening to and get like, you know, try and, you know, have some way of getting access to some more information, some more intellectual capital to help build the cultural capital of the group. Well, now, because everyone's boosting the podcast on Fountain and stuff, there's all of this interaction that's public out there on Nostr, which we can then take and analyze and aggregate and display these different podcast interactions. Just another example of what we can do.
Yeah, so not all of the Podcasting 2.0 clients have implemented it yet. Fountain has, Boost Me Bitch has, our website has. Possibly there's some others that I don't know about, but at least those three. And what it is that has been implemented is, and I'm still actually, we haven't fully implemented this yet, or we haven't gone through and aggregated all the data yet. So I don't know if there are more, but this NIP 73 is something that basically allows you to add your podcast GUID, which is basically like your podcast identifier, into a Nostr note when you send a boost. So what that means is you send a boost to a podcast, you can have attribution for your NPub and the show that you're boosting and have those go out as a Nostr note. So like when you boost our show through our website, when you know, that will get, if you decide that you want to blast that out there as a kind one note, it's going to come with the episode tags on of the episode that you boosted. And so that's how Fountain does it now. And so a lot of people are doing their boosting through Fountain. And also Boost Me Bitch, which is a different website that Chad F has put together. That I, as far as I know, is actually starting to become more popular. Like we're starting to see more boosts come in from different people that are using Boost Me Bitch, because it's just a nice platform to use. You can log in with Nostr, and it's got all the features that you might want. So like if, for example, let's say you're an Apple podcast guy, right? It's just where you listen. That's where you get your podcast from. And you're like, I don't know. I don't feel like switching over to Fountain, but I still want to boost the shows. Well, no problem. You go to our either, like for our show, you can go to our website, but if you can, you can boost any podcast from, Boost Me Bitch. So anyway, the long way of saying we're starting to go back and look for who we know our community members. Let's go back in time and let's find out what podcasts they're boosting. You know, if they've got these NIP 73 tags on them, we can go find all those notes and aggregate them. And now we can have a feed, another community feed that maybe will be out by the time this episode drops that says, hey, here's all the episodes that people in our community like, you know? And, you know, so maybe it's like, you know, that they like a certain show, but now you get to know like what individual episodes they found most valuable, because those are the ones that they're actually sending sats to. And so we're hoping that'll be a cool way for our community to find, you know, get some more entropy into their 40 hours a week, or find some other high signal podcasts that they didn't know existed. Because, you know, hey, we're both in the local Bitcoiners community together. And if you like this other podcast, I mean, I'm probably going to like it too. So yeah, I should go check it out. And so that's kind of the idea for the podcast feed that we're, hopefully I'll be able to put that together in the next week or so. So maybe that'll be out by the time this podcast comes out.
Yeah. And so then from there, we can, I've talked about bounties, but it's one way of saying it, but people can start curating, and then we can decide on local Bitcoiners' end if that curation is valuable, and then send them some sats for their curation or for posting the meetup. And then this creates incentives for people to interact more deeply. And that, once again, this value chain where if you were trying to create a situation where if you interact with local Bitcoiners, more than one thing will typically happen. And it might not be instant, but like over time, there could be other reasons, right, to interact that won't come up for like 6 months, because now the game that we've been building all the information around getting started has begun. We finally have all the information we need to start this game that we want everyone to, that we're hoping people will play. Just a little tease towards like some kind of Maxi Madness type thing, right? But so there are, it's kind of like, I don't know if, do you remember, or maybe you guys don't know much about the shitcoin stuff, but like a lot of times when these like DEXs would come out, they wouldn't have a shitcoin attached, or they would have their, I don't know, they wouldn't have a shitcoin attached to it or something, but it was like you'd get an airdrop after a certain time period. Like, oh, you're fucking around with our platform for a while and you've put a lot of liquidity through here, so now you get this airdrop of our new shitcoin. And like, so when all this DeFi stuff started happening, everyone was just like, oh, I'm just going to go fuck around with everything because I might get an airdrop. I don't know if this is the same thing, if it's like a better version of that or whatever, but it's similar where it's like, hey, we're creating these incentives, some reasons for you to interact and participate with our community. And there's possibilities in the future for that to pay off for you, coming directly from local Bitcoiners.
Similar, I think, in some ways. Obviously we wouldn't ever call it an airdrop. It's value for value, right? That's really what we're doing here. I think on the last episode that we just released, I went on when we're going through the leaderboards, when we're getting to our value for value section, I don't know, I just end up on these little mini monologues where I get to talk about value for value for a little bit. And I think the way I put it on the last episode was, you know, we want you to boost your meetup with our podcast because we want to talk about it. It's what we want. Like we get value out of that. Like just you, yeah. Like it might not seem like it, but yeah, you posting your meetup and letting our show know, I find that valuable. Like just that alone. Like I think it's so cool. Now you're using Noster. You're interacting with our show. You're using the tools, right? You're getting more familiar. Maybe you had to get a Noster signer in order to log into the website. Like that's all cool. Like to me, that means you're joining my community. And I think that that's really valuable. And so, yeah, I want to give you some value back. And Rev does too. And so we have this bucket of sats that we do for value stuff. And that's a perfect use case for it. Like we are trying to incentivize people to, provide the information that we would like to see. And yeah, we're going to give you some value back for it. So less of an airdrop, more of just a value for value thing. Like we appreciate what you're doing and we're going to send you some of the best money that's ever existed since the dawn of humanity. Yeah, you get to get some of that.
So really we're doing it through the context of a podcast and a podcast community. But as we've mentioned, this really is applicable to music, bands, any community built up around a band or an artist. This is the same thing, right? Really effectively the same thing. And then you can take it a step deeper and look at any like community with some sort of decent border, right? A church group,
a Bitcoin meetup.
Obviously a Bitcoin meetup. Yes.
Right.
So yes, that's the biggest thing is like, you can take a lot of these ideas, from the Noster side of the way people are interacting with the podcast and apply that to your meetup. And you don't even have to take these techniques and use Noster specifically. Like a lot of this stuff can be done like analog, through just thoughtful, gathering of the data yourself. It's just a hell of a lot easier when all the data is out there on Noster for your clanker to go and organize it for you now. So yeah, I guess that's where we've been headed. I hope that this kind of gives people a better idea of what we've been doing. Cause maybe it seems like maybe it is a little like, why are you guys doing all this different stuff? Like what is the whole purpose of it? And hopefully now it becomes a little bit more clear.
I feel like we're very much in a building stage, and I've said it already a few times. We're throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks, et cetera, et cetera. Like we're trying out different things. Like the meetup thing is an example, right? Like we had this meetups page, this localbitcoiners.com/meetups, but then we added the meetups community feed. And so it's like these things, yes, I realize they are kind of sort of similar. But yeah, like I maybe one of the things I'm hoping for this website is we will eventually reach some sort of equilibrium where we found, okay, these are the features that have been working. You know, these other ones maybe didn't work as well. We dropped those off. And this is what we think. This is like a decent playbook for our podcast. Well, once we have that decent playbook and it's like more stable and a lot of the kinks are ironed out, you know, it seems like every week we're fighting bugs with somebody's boost. Oh, why didn't that get tagged the right way? Did this information not come through? And yeah, you know, we're ironing out those kinks as we go. But once we hit steady state, I'm hoping that we can put things in a way almost like, again, getting inspired by like what Augie's doing. Augie is trying to make Bodark into this tool that is an easy out-of-the-box solution for meetups to implement. And so I would hope, right now, I don't think our site is like that. Like it's not set up to be copied. Like you could copy us, of course. You can. It's all open source. It's on GitHub. You could fork our repo and do whatever you want with it. But it's not set up for that. You know, maybe at some point in the future, we could restructure it in a way that it is more like, hey, you fork our site and you're starting a new podcast. Great. Fork our site. You know, the bots will come. You can tweak the bots if you want. But then, you know, you're going to have a very similar setup. So we're obviously not there. Possibly that will happen at some point in the future. But, you know, that. So, yeah, it is a little bit chaotic. Every week we come on with a new feature, which from our standpoint, I think is pretty cool that we can do that. But yeah, hopefully we reach some sort of steady state here and, you know, we'll have a playbook, so to speak, of what's worked for us and hopefully other people can use that playbook. So this little second half of this episode, you know, this is for us to kind of air out what we've been working on and what we're doing and a little bit of the thought behind it. So hopefully people find this useful context as we continue every week to read off our leaderboards and go through the boosts and talk about our website and all these cool features. Maybe this will give you a little bit more context about where we're coming from.
And if you made it this far, I think we didn't bring this up and I think we should, because part of what allows us to know what's working well and what we should lean into deeper is when people are actually using the stuff and also when you're breaking it. And so now, or this has been in there, but we've never really talked about it. But if you find something that's broken, you can actually report a bug on the website. And this will give us a lot of good information about how to address that, especially when it just comes to like some of the ways, some of the things can be counterintuitive or whatever. Let us know, you know, if you like click a button and you're like, man, I thought it was going to do something else and it doesn't do that thing or whatever. That's really helpful.
Yeah, the bug reporting tool, I'll give it a quick shout out. I think it's actually in the code. I wanted to make sure we gave some shout outs even in the code itself. But the bug reporting tool came from plebeian.market. And it's pretty cool because what ends up happening is you're using your Noster credentials to sign that this is from you. And the bug reporting tool, it'll pull in information like from your browser. So we know like if you're having an issue, like what browser you're using. Like what operating system is it running on? Like this is information that's actually contained in your browser and that gets dumped into the report. But then that bug report gets sent to our relay, like a personal relay that isn't for other types of notes. And that relay is running on the same computer that's running all of our Noster bots. So what that means is I have a bot that will look for these bug report notes and they open them as GitHub issues. So if you click that report a bug on the website, you can type in just freeform and it will show up as a GitHub issue the next time that bot runs. And then, you know, then I can, you know, whatever, send the clankers off to go find out what the issue is and hopefully we'll get it fixed. But, you know, it puts it in a consistent format. So it's not just, obviously, look, we get signal messages and message DMs on Noster and people telling us issues all over the place. But the bug reporting tool will aggregate them for us if people decide to use it and put them in a consistent format. All right, man. Well, we're coming up here on the 2 hour mark. So I think we got across most of the messages that we wanted to, though. Was there anything else, Rev, that you were thinking from the community building side that you wanted to get out?
No, man, I think that we got it pretty well covered there. We even teased a bunch of cool stuff that's going to happen in the future, maybe. Jacob, thanks for hanging out with us too through all this, our little workshop here at the end. Sounds like it looks like you were taking notes or doing something over there, paying attention.
Yeah, got my pen here. Yeah,
sweet. Thanks
for letting me hang with you guys.
But yeah, I'll be keeping my eye out. That beefsteak is right after Lake Satoshi, but you know, I bet I could probably carpool with somebody and get down there and get back in a reasonable hour. So I might be beefsteaking it up with you guys.
Come on down. It's 2 weeks. Lake Satoshi is August 1st.
Yeah.
You got 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, you're recharged, ready to go.
Yeah, hell
ready
yeah.
Ready for a beefsteak. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and so just to reiterate, and I don't know if you wanted to show your, is that your next meetup? Is that your next meetup? You have the beefsteak?
No, our next meetup is on the 15th. So by the time I guess this airs, it'll pass, but.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So that'll be your next meetup after this episode airs.
Yeah.
Yep. The beefsteak.
Go to the beefsteak.
So from what I'm seeing here, it's August 15th. From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Refinery 46. And you have a link to it, at least in your Twitter, to pay on Zaprite. So there you go. So hopefully everybody, we will definitely include it in the show notes.
Thank you.
And yeah, if you're anywhere nearby the Indy region, I highly recommend, you know, beefsteak is a great event. It's just something about getting together with Bitcoiners. Eating good meat, it's really an experience to have. It's awesome.
Yeah, let's get those people in Michigan come down, Ohio. So I need to meet a lot of people from. I'm gonna go listen to the Columbus meetup with is it Shannon?
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's too close. I haven't met those folks over there, so need to. I'll make it if you're listening. I'll make it over there eventually. You guys come over for the beefsteak. Anyone else around? We would love to have you.
Awesome. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on. And any other final last words or places you want to send people to find you or anything?
No. At Indy Bitcoin Meetup on Twitter. We're on meetup.com. Relatively Irrelevant is firing up our Noster game. So I'm sure he'll, I think he'll listen to this. He's got like 50 shout outs, so he better. And yeah, I think this is like right down his alley. I bet we'll, you'll start seeing us on your pages on local Bitcoiners.
Sweet. Yeah, that's awesome, man. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on. And, Rev, you got anything to close us out with?
Roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.